and you thought vinyl left. You're listening to the Vinyl Community Podcasts, Everything Vinyl.
This is Surface Noise. I want to thank everyone who is joining us in the crowded lanes of YouTube, Vinyl Community, live streaming, Concert Buddy here at the control deck while we're here. The plane is in flight. Please fasten your seatbelts. The tray tables are okay to be exercised. I don't really care about that. I'm joined by some familiar faces. We're going to have an intimate conversation. And not intimate in that we're pouring a hot bath and having the lavender petals like I do when I clean my records. just a little bit more of a focused conversation. I'm joined by a man from the Empire State, the one, the only, Arnaldo. The channel, if you don't know, on YouTube is Fidelios_frequency. Arnaldo, what's a good word, sir?
I don't know. Just make sure that when you watch my videos, you are before viewer number 700. Otherwise, you're going to miss out. This is an inside joke.
So you're saying it's a limited edition.
Yes. YouTube only allows 700.
Yeah, it's like the velvet rope. If you don't get in before 700, I mean, you're missing out on all the action. And then It looks like our other panelist tonight looks like somebody's added another row of records to the display behind him, doing some decorating in the homestead. That is Jason Rojas. Jason, how are you?
You know, I'm doing good, Concert Buddy. Thanks for having me back on. You know, controversial figure. You know, it's hard to be a VC Karen, five Karen. You know,
well, we got two VC Karens. Yeah,
I know. I got to spread the love here. You know, us VC Karens have to stick together. You know,
this is true. The more we're, it's kind of like a flock of birds. You know, we're flying in unison. And we're stronger together than we are apart. So that's all we can do. All right, let's see. Let's see, we're growing in numbers. Well, not really. We got Cesar. Hello. Good evening, gentlemen. I don't know who the gentlemen are. Maybe Arnaldo. But, you know, we got a couple of VC Karens and Rojas and myself. And I said earlier, Marcia, one of the nicest ladies in the VC. Beautiful. No, Cesar is really infatuated with you all in our little private chat we have going on. Cesar says, look at that beautiful, all caps, holy guacamole wall behind Mr. Rojas. Impressive. Guacamole. I'm a big guacamole guy.
I mean, when you have to compete with like Thomas Busk, you know, that guy.
There is no competition for Thomas Busk.
I know.
Even though he thought System of a Down was a grunge record, I'm not going to hold that against him. But I will say that there was some concern about legitimacy there. Oh, shit. You know, Tom doesn't even like live streams. High Rant District. Tom, what's going on, sir? Says the sunset is making me sleepy. See, it's part of a psychological ploy, is that if we get people to literally fall asleep during the live stream, they won't log out. So it helps the views, it helps the hours. So it's all part of the hypnosis. You're gonna see a spinning wheel here in a second to really put you out, Tom. But I'm glad you joined us, Tom. All right, let's. So since we have a more intimate group, we may have a smaller show. I'll be curious how the Steve Westman Thursday show looks anyway. So maybe.
Well, what time does Steve start?
At 9 Central, so 7 Pacific. So we'd be about halfway done with what
10,
we usually do.
Right?
10 your time. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. And Eastern. Yep.
And Mr. Wax is starting.
Nobody wants to watch that. I mean, you're just going to be, you know, forced to, you know, buy audio file records. Like, do you want me to release? It seems like the more you're talking about your competition here, you want me to release that video that I held back. Vinyl Community parody video. Like, you're saying, like,
no, Jason, as you've seen,
the Kraken.
No, I don't know if we should do that, because as Jason has seen and Arnaldo has seen it too, I've made some videos that never saw the air of day, but some of my best work. So maybe
crushing it. He's got 121 people watching.
And no one's there? Like, he's not showing anything?
Oh, no. It's Jazz Bomb Mike and, Jim, Record Collector's on.
Oh, you're talking about Wax? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if you want to talk about Jazz Records, this is not the spot. I'm just going to be honest with you. So I'm sorry. You want to hear about the Pablos and you want to hear about, the latest and greatest and twofers, not your guy. No disrespect, but I'm not that guy. But you want to hear about conspiracy theories? Maybe we'll just open it up because we got some good ones potentially. Now, Tom, this could be considered a hot take. It says if you look closely, every Westman episode is the same episode. It's an interesting take. But he mixes it up. Oh, now hang on. Michael Tedder. Oh, hang on a second. Badge of Vinyl. How do you think we pronounce this? I've seen this viewer pop up in some other places. Vaginyl. How do you think, Arnaldo?
Vaginal.
Vaginal.
It's directed at me. The comment is directed at me, you know, because, like, let's face it, you know, I'm not, you know, this is for Vaginal or William the Flipper, if this is your troll account, you know. Welcome, William. You know, you should know that Wax and I don't get along, man. Like, you know, and I'll be honest, like, I was uncomfortable on Jose's live stream, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And a work emergency did come up, you know, where I had to stop and I was like, well, do I stay here? Do I, you know what?
Should I stay or should I go?
Out of here, you know.
So, Michael Tedder, who's local to my area, good guy, he's asking the question everyone's asking. Going to be any trolling Collecto tonight? So, as a follow-up, so the answer is no. Well, probably no. The answer is steeped in post our last live stream. You probably haven't heard this. So no. I had a nice back and forth with Chad from Collecto because, you know, I did take out the, you know, our little fun. Some of us, not everyone was participating. Let's just be honest. And that's fun. But we had a little fun over at Collecto. And didn't affect any of the proceedings. But we had a nice little exchange with Chad back and forth. And he welcomed us all back. He unblocked Jose and several others. Because Jose was legitimately inquiring about that Karen Dalton record. I felt bad. Jose was just – he just kept throwing numbers in because he just wanted to get somebody to give him what was going on. So – oh, now hang on. Now, see, I don't even know. Is Jason, you're closer to the situation than I am. Is Willie Strange Name the same guy? I can't even keep up anymore at this point. Like, this is it's exhausting to me. After I forget where I saw it, the 17 different accounts. I was just like, wow. I mean, I just. There was a time in my life I had a good recall, but once you get up double digits past 15, I can't do it anymore.
Well, I think the thing is with the trolls and stuff, and I was trying to explain this to Beetle Babe because she's going, you know, DC sure. drama, you know,
yes, I've noticed
with, you know, Mr. Mayo and all this, you know, I was very confused about it myself, you know, and I was trying to put on my VC detective goggles, like, you know, like, what's going on here? I don't get it. Who do you have beef? You know, are you not getting along with Martin, you know, or Invisible mm-hmm. Ray, whatever, you know, I couldn't, mm-hmm. you know, and actually like a 40 comment, 40 comments on one of the recent Davy Strange Name videos caught me up. You know,
40 comments.
It caught me up with all of it.
I mean, is this like 40 Facebook?
Comments?
40. Yeah. It's like Facebook. Like who? Wow. Yeah, that's a lot.
I know. It was Kevin? Like Martin and Davy Strange Name, just like back and forth. Like it was amazing.
Like Pong. Yeah, so, yeah, I'm glad I see Kevin, me, myself.
I felt like, you know what? Like I was reading it. Who has time for that?
Yeah, Kevin asked the question. Time for that? Listen, and no offense to Jason, I've done this too. There was one video, I forget what it was, had 70 something comments. And by the time I got to about, I'm assuming, 2/3 of the way down, I thought, boy, I could have done so many better things with my time. Read whatever was being talked about here. It doesn't impact my life at all. So, anywho. All right. Well, why don't we go with the presentation and see what's cooking. Let's go to show topic number one. Let me clear this out. Boom, boom, boom. All right. So, this is an interesting one, and I'm kind of a little behind in the sense that I made a pod-only exclusive on Monday kind of talking about this. Melinda Murphy did a video that I thought was interesting, and I'd heard some of the Billie Eilish commentary. She did an interview with Billboard talking about, you know, the industry as a whole is, you know, maybe there needs to be a little more conscious effort to not make so many variants, cover variants, color variants, etc., more from a climate sustainability end. got me thinking, and you know, I did a little thing for the pod. Go back, listen to it if you're interested. But it was interesting that morning that it came out. Then Billie Eilish, conveniently enough, dropped her new album, or at least announced it, with last time I counted 8 different color variants. So I don't know. Is that what's called mixed messaging, where you're saying the industry as a whole needs to make less of the same, and then you literally a couple days later dropped 8 different color variants? So interesting. So we'll start with you, Arnaldo. What do you think about, and I know you said, well, I know you, like I have subscribed to Vinyl Me Please, who is probably the variant master. What do you think about, at this point in the collecting game, variants? And like, I use the example, the Chili Peppers had like 16 different variants of one album and 14 of another. I mean, it's not like Pokemon. Nobody is buying every single one. Maybe they are. I don't know. I mean, where do you land on the color variant carousel at this point in your collecting journey?
Well, there could never be too many Lana Del Rey variants.
Well, I teed it right up. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. So one, and I think I'm missing one, and one is in the mail. One got announced last week and another
one. Oh, you're talking about the festival one, right?
Yes.
All right. So Arnaldo's going to... I forgot now. This is the latest album. What's the album called?
Did you know that there is a tunnel under Ocean Boulevard?
Boom. All right. So we're going to count together. We've got one. Oh, we've got two.
I've never seen that one.
I've never seen that one either. What is that one? It's a green cover. What's the...
You know, I don't remember. I should have labeled them.
There's so many. All right, we got two. We've got three.
Except the Jose favorite one.
No, there's the Jose favorite one. Oh my gosh. Hopefully no children are watching. Let's get through that one real fast.
There's the Target variant that I do not have, which is very similar to this. It's just black and white.
Okay.
With the red lettering here.
Sure.
And then there's the festival variant. So that one's in the mail. I didn't get the Target variant. Mostly, it's not just the color, at least here, because she has different covers. You know, one thing is giving us the same cover, and even the rear artwork changes. You know, they put, or she puts, a little bit more thought into creating the variant. So they're all different, even the rear covers.
Sure.
Yes, this is, I think this and another artist are the only ones that I really allow color variants for. But yes, it's getting out of control. But we can say one thing is that, last year, or was it 2022? Was it 2022 that Midnights came out?
Yes.
All those six, I think it's 6 different color variants.
I think it was 5.
And
cover, 5 or 6, yeah.
That kind of made the vinyl sales for the year. It's ridiculous. It's wholeheartedly, you know, gave a huge jump in Q4, I think it was.
Sure.
Vinyl sales, because you had her fans that don't own record players were buying all 6 covers.
And then you have flippers trying to buy all 6.
Well, that's an interesting idea, because at one time people were chasing it. Uh-oh, hang on. Arnaldo's showing some more. Let's go back to Arnaldo.
Honeymoon?
More Lana Del Rey.
Honeymoon also had a few variants. I only have one version, which is the most sought after one, the Urban Outfitters. At the time, I paid more than cover price. I think it retailed for like 40. I may have paid 80, but now it's worth close to $400. So, but this is my favorite Lana Del Rey album, and I wanted to have this cover, and I came across at a good price at the time. And that was at least 6 years ago. So, you know, I'm not going to sell this probably when I retire or when I sell my collection.
This is your 401k? Is that what
you're saying? Not really. Don't records are a very bad investment. especially the DSD ones.
Finally, I'm glad Patrick got the joke. I again, no one asks, you know, everyone knows who won the All Valley Karate Championship in 83. Johnny Lawrence. Everyone knows who won in 84, Daniel LaRusso. You don't know who won in 85, but somebody won in 86. So, well, Daniel LaRusso, because he was over in Okinawa fighting Sato and Chosen. So I appreciate PB Thaw coming in and getting it. All right. So, Jason, where do you land on the variant nonsense that's going on? I mean, I'm all for having something different and offering a options. Oh, hang on. We got to make you big. Now, what are you showing us right here?
Okay. This is Olivia Rodrigo, and these are her variants. Let's just have a deep thought on this, okay?
All right.
Is it always the same cover?
I believe so, except for the colored variants, right?
Friends don't let friends buy that many of the same record. I'm just sitting on it.
This channel that I follow recently, she loves buying variants, you know, and I'm not trying to cause beef on her at all. Like, you know, you do you, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Spend your money how you want.
But I mean, this was like a total of, oh my gosh, probably like 18 variants. like, I don't know. Like, is she going to play them all? No, probably not, man. But it is pretty amazing. Like, I give her that. Like, that's dedication. That's a true fan, you know?
Well, I'm sure.
There's no harm in any of that.
No harm. Oh, yeah.
I'm sure there are plenty of people that bought all 40 cover and color variants of the Rolling Stones record.
I think they
topped everyone. I think only the teams were 40, right? Plus there were additional other variants.
So now Tom makes a good point. I can see this when he says, I can see one black version and one color version aligns with the cover artwork. That's enough. I mean, I'll even give you maybe a cover variant. Maybe four. I mean, I don't know if there's a magic number that makes the most logical sense. Again, you do you. Do you want to buy the 11 different Folklore covers? I mean,
I didn't know it was 11, really?
Well, no, I did. Every once in a while, I do my homework on this stuff. And when I did the pod on Monday, I did a little homework. But she's been going down. So it was 11 for Folklore. I think it was like 8 or 9 for Evermore. And then Midnights, like Arnaldo mentioned, had the core four, which came with the autograph inserts. Then she did a Target, and then there was another one. So call it 6. Then her new album coming out, this week, next week, something like that. The Poets, something or other.
Right.
At the time I recorded the pod on Monday, there was only 2. I couldn't believe it. And then, of course, well, it's like
she's dropping new ones almost every day.
Right.
And it's you. Do you hear the cat? Do you see the read the catch? Available only for 48 hours. So you have to rush to order it. It's you know, this is new marketing of vinyl. I mean,
but see here. I'm gonna come back on that one because I bit into that one. Remember, so she's also been concurrently reissuing her back catalog, re-recording, adding some bonuses. Now that's a licensing thing, and that's with Scooter Braun and her previous record label deal and all that stuff. I understand what's kind of happening there, but with the 1989 reissue, multiple colors, different covers, they did the same thing. They got me on a couple of them. I'm like, I'm owning it. They said limited time. You've got till like Friday. And so it was
1989
re-recording. Right. And it totally worked because it was a sales tactic, a marketing tactic to convert. And it converted me on 3 of the 4. And by the time the fourth one, I was like, it's going to be around because you can still get it. But anyway, I digress. I don't know. So Jason, if you...
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah, of course.
How different is the color variant tactic from putting a record inside a box and putting a leaflet and charging $150.
You mean on Clarity Vinyl? You mean recorded from a tape?
It's always the same color. It's always the same color vinyl.
This is true.
It's always the same. But they're marketing ploys made to make money, whether because they need to recoup a lot of money for advances that they paid or because they're greedy. Either way, it's still a marketing.
Or all the above.
Or all the above, or both. I work for a label. I know how it works.
Right, right. So, it's no mystery. And if you've been in this game long enough. No.
Of course. It's the artist, at least on my label, the artist still has a say. If the label wants to do four different variants and the artist were to say, no, I really only want two, maybe, I'm sure we'll be fine with that.
Sure.
I don't know how it works in other labels, so. You know.
But let's pretend for a second. So let's go back to that Chili Peppers example. Unlimited Love. So they dropped two albums in 2022. Unlimited Love in the spring and then Return of the Dream Canteen in the fall. The first one, and my local friends, my local shop owner, we made a running joke of this. I mean, we counted 17 variants of Unlimited Love. Now, they had a Record Store Day silver cover. I mean, some of them make sense. You know, you want to have a little special. They had a Lakers colorway, so one purple, one gold, that kind of stuff. 17. I like the Chili's. I'm not shitting on them. I know Frusciante was back. I like the album. I know a certain YouTuber in the Pacific Northwest took a giant dump on it. But, you know, taste is relative. But 17. So to your point, Arnaldo, somebody's in a decision-making position, and they're like, you know what? We've got all these kind of mock-ups for art. We can do all this. I mean, who said it's like the shopping cart thing. They just put their arm and just took all the canned goods and knocked them. They're like, yeah, we'll just take them all. 17. I mean, it's almost like 17 different YouTube accounts. See, I couldn't help myself on that one. So, not intentional, but I just, you know, the third time I said 17, so, you know, I'm messing with you, William. But then they followed it up with the second album in the fall. I think it was 14. I mean, it was not as many, but then here's my favorite part, and this is part of the game, a recycled vinyl. And that's what Billie Eilish was kind of imploring, at least someone that I read in the Billboard article, is let's have more recycled vinyl, which to me, in my experience, recycled vinyl sounds like, I mean, it depends on the mastering to an extent too, but just from a material reuse perspective, it rarely sounds as good as quote unquote virgin vinyl. I mean, anything. I mean, any kind of.
Now that you went on a little secret.
Oh, yes.
There's more recycled vinyl that you're buying than you know.
Oh my gosh, you've just ruined Easter. No, Arnaldo.
So hang on all a second. The dollar jazz that one person is buying all be recycled. Oh,
this sounds like a conspiracy theory.
Do you know? So, you know how records are cut, right?
Yes.
They're usually bigger than 12 inches, and that gets cut around.
Yeah, it's a fallout. Yeah, scrap.
They grab that stuff. And they put it in the bin, and it's going to be reused. I know this from somebody who used to work at a plant. And he says, oh, yeah, we used to do that all the time.
So now you've just ruined my life, Arnaldo, because, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, well, here's a, you know, like when they make, and I knew this when I worked at Nike. So a lot of the rubber that they have overrun in the soles and stuff. And they have a whole green initiative reuse where they're literally using a lot of that fallout scrap and just putting it in and then speckling it. They even do it in some of their weightlifting plates now. But so I totally, oh my gosh.
It happens across all industries. I had a friend who worked at the, well-known, manufacturer of jeans and
Bugle Boy.
She worked at the company that made the denim.
Yeah, sure.
And remember in the late 90s when the tore up jeans and the ones that had some kind of blemish or something? Levi's, I'm going to disclose this.
It was intentional tattering, right? Like
they were like, oh, we're wasting too many jeans. We're getting too much of this denim that is not perfect. Let's create the brand, the one of a kind. Remember when they came out with that one of a kind?
Sure.
And those were imperfect jeans that they were just trying to reutilize somehow and making them seem like they're exclusive, they're unique pieces.
Interesting. Well, new friend, Vaginal. I guess this is directed at Billie Eilish. Vaginal says she should take her music off streaming. That's horrible for the environment. So, Billy, I know you're a big fan of the every other Thursday night Surface Noise live stream. So this is, I hope you take this into consideration with the 8 variants that you announced on Monday. Let's save the planet together. Let's make this a better place for you and me. I was just happy. I mean, Arnaldo, did you see this? We are joined by a legend.
I saw.
I mean, for Pete's sake, this made my day. Love Rev. Rev's my guy. Legend. All right. Well, I think we can all agree. Probably don't need as many variants. But before I close this topic, if and when you partake in the variant game, I mean, is it like you have all those Lana Del Rey's or Arnaldo? It's just you enjoy the artist. And like you said, there is a little bit of uniqueness to covers, to the back artwork, that sort of thing. Right. Is that usually what's a convert? Like that'll, it's kind of all those things put together and you're like, yeah, I'll get another one of those.
Yeah. And I think that's it. It comes down only to the artist that I truly love. And
sure. There
has to be a uniqueness to it. Otherwise, if there's more than one variant, I shop around for the one usually on Discogs, reading feedback on which color variant sounds best, and go for that one.
But what if you're waiting to see it, hear which one sounds best and it sells out and you can't get it? And do you go aftermarket? I mean,
No, I'm not that crazy.
Okay.
I'm not that crazy.
So you're not like one of the panelists who will not be named out loud, who was scared of the Pearl Jam Vinyl Me Please yield reissue when it was announced because it was going to be the first release out of the new pressing plant. Turned out it wasn't because the pressing plant was delayed, and so they didn't buy it. And when they found out that Furnace was making it and tried to go back and buy it, it was sold out. So then they recently paid $20 more in retail to pick it up. It was not going to out anybody, but it happens.
Was it worth it?
I hate to say it, but no.
Well, it's funny you say that. I recently, what did I get last week? I forgot what I got. It was done, or 2 weeks ago, it was done at Furnace.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I do think it's important to acknowledge Breakfast King of Loyola because, you know, we do talk about the Illuminati sometimes on this program. And he says a lot of virgin vinyl was sacrificed during the eclipse. Now, we can neither confirm nor deny, but I think based on the underwhelming results by a lot of people, we were talking about this before we came on, about the eclipse, and in some parts of the country, great experience. In other parts, it wasn't mastered properly. So, you know,
it wasn't pressed on 200 gram vinyl.
It wasn't pressed on Clarity.
Well, they misled a lot of people. When they said, you'll be able to see 90%. Here I'm thinking you hear 90%, but 90%, I mean, 10% of the sun is still daylight. So.
Yes. And Cesar is right. The Pearl Jam yield, the 45 RPM sounds just like the 33 reissue. So, you know, live and learn, but, you know, hey, no seam splits. See, my friends at Plaid Room Records always take care of me because it was a sealed copy. I asked them to open it for me. They put it in new sleeves, everything. So shout out to Sarah and Plaid Room Records. Always takes care of me. All right, let's move on to a new topic. And this is one that I was kind of texting with the guys earlier this week. I kind of was thinking about picking up, you know, that new Cars audiophile Rhino. Was it Candio, I think it is. Maybe flirting with the Grateful Dead American Beauty. And I saw on their website that they were having a sale. Now, I don't know if this was because of the eclipse, because the sale was still going on.
No, I think it's Jazz Appreciation Month.
Oh, so that's – do you think that's the reason, or is it because they have too many copies of the jazz titles? This is why I ask, Arnaldo, because is the Rhino Audiophile series a success?
Possibly. Maybe, yeah. Maybe
that's possibly. Come on.
Well, the only one that sold out was the Cars one, right?
The first one, right? Yeah, I believe so.
And I think, the bundle with the Doobie Brothers, I think that one sold out. Oh, Marquee Moon sold out. So all the rock records are selling out.
Okay. So do you think, let's take it another step further. Let's hit the conspiracy theory. Oh, that's a different one. are they picking the right titles, or is maybe the jazz renaissance slowing down?
I think
or
it
all
is.
The above.
I think it is, because now you go to Kraft, and I just noticed it today. You buy two or more, and you get 20% off. You buy three, I think you get 30% off on jazz records. So
now we're not gonna have any more Pablo jokes. Those the Pablo jokes didn't land as well last week as we had hoped. But I will say, listen, I like a deal. And when I saw that it was buy three, get one free on the Rhino website of the jazz titles only, I can appreciate that. But unlike years past, I did not convert. I did not take advantage of that deal. So Jason, with all this new information I'm sharing here in front of you, and when we text earlier this week, do you consider the Rhino Audiophile series a success? Hang on, Prop City, here we go. Boom, making you
so
big.
Here we go. Oh my gosh.
Oh, we've got a customer.
Holy shit. Wasn't supposed to choose this one. Oops. Now I.
So what are you holding up? You know, we have a lot of visually impaired people who watch this program.
So I'm holding the Rhino Cars Candio, and then I'm also holding the Rhino Van Morrison, the, what is this? His band and the Street Choir, which, you know, it's an okay record. It's not as good as Moondance, in my opinion.
Of course.
But so far, they do sound pretty good, you know, like, this one sounded a lot more, you know, detailed and clarity better than, look, I'm pulling it from the wall now.
James. Wow.
I've hit Jose level, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, this is the OG, you know?
Sure.
What, 1979, I think, right? The Rhino actually beats the OG. I was kind of shocked.
Holy shit. Hang on. Hang on a second. I can't believe that. You got to get props where it's due.
You know, by the way, Kevin Bassman Grace texted me. He's saying the check is in the mail.
Wow. Check is in the mail.
Okay. You've got mail.
All right. That's excellent. Right. Excellent.
So I'm doing a good job, you know.
That's right.
Hey, next thing you'll know, you'll be on the Rhino gravy train and they'll be sending you the free ones.
I know. Then I'll have to make a parody video on myself.
Oh, that'll be a VC first. Has anyone made a parody video parodying themselves?
No, right?
William, if you're still there, I got an idea for your next show. You're welcome.
So I enjoyed this, but then this one, no, I thought like, what? It didn't sound any different from the original. And I was like, this is in the two trade, the sell pile. Like it just wasn't.
RIP Van Morrison, that beautiful. Right. Haircut.
You know, so I mean, this came out early, right? I think this was the second round, I think.
Yeah, that was a second round.
That was an early one. Yeah,
so before the critique, you know, like, are you actually listening to, you know, comparing records before you cut it? Do you know the record before you cut it? You know,
I want to give a shout out. Disco Devil says no one will ever reach Jose's level. Now, Jose, don't take this the wrong way. We've got some dirty language. That motherfucker pulls out records in his sleep, and that's probably accurate.
Right, so to Disco Devil, like, hi, Alex, big shout-out, but I don't have any Adam Sandler records. I don't have any Roddy Dangerfield records.
But you know? Go ahead. You have it handy? Show it. You got to show it.
Oh, yeah, of course he has it handy.
You don't have Rodney Dangerfield. You don't have Adam Sandler, but you do have?
You have the original king of comedy.
Yeah. Do you want me to get it?
Yeah.
I'm Marie. Wyoming Dave is trying to start some controversy. He says, no offense, guys. I'm not a big fan of Van Morrison, but if you are, no problem. Dave, I can't believe you're going to besmirch the treasure that is Van Morrison. Did you see that guy's haircut?
But for all the Jose haters.
Jose haters. Hashtag Jose haters.
This one's for you.
Okay. Holy sheep shit.
Okay.
Look
for all you VC, you know, curmudgeons and, you know, fragile egos, I hope you can take a joke because this guy can.
Wow.
You are disgusting.
Jason, when I see you in a couple weeks, I want to touch the Michael Fremer record. I don't know if I want to buy it.
You know what the reaction is? It's this. No.
Oh shit! Was that the original DAP? Remember that thing the kids were doing? What do they call that? Where they put their face in their armpit? DAP? No, that's not DAP. I'm such an old. But that looks like that's what it was. Whatever that was.
DAP. Walter.
Is it?
DAP.
Yeah. Where they do this nonsense? Yeah.
Right. Well,
no offense to Adam Sandler, but yes to Michael Fremer. Caesar, you speak for the rest of us. Now, Rev Carl says, I can't believe I'm watching this stream. After following Chance, a strong recommendation for STP's core, there's 88 cents I'll never see again. Listen, you should never buy records recommended by people on computer screens or TV screens. Best advice I can give you. But if you're going to spend, was it $60 on the analog production version, it's a good spend. I'm just saying. KRWD, hi Chance. Jason, Arnaldo, you could scare off rodents with that Fremer photo. LOL. Accurate.
Right.
Waiting
for the Acoustic Productions comedy series, you know, coming soon.
Now, Patrick's on ice. It says Walter is the pop culture oracle. So shout out to Walter. Came in clutch. Appreciate it. All right. Oh, hang on. Now, BK says Madonna stole that pose from Fremer. Very possible. It looked like a Vogue type of movement. So, you know, Michael Fremer is not only an ace reviewer, but also an ace dancer and an ace comedian. So beautiful. All right. We beat this topic to death. I think we have. Let's move on to the next topic.
But we are anxious to hear the May announcement, right?
I think we are.
Right?
I think we are.
Be ready with your mouse.
You better wear your brown pants. That's all I'm saying. You better wear the brown pants.
So when that happens, then I'll make a parody video on myself for that release. How about that?
Wow. Strong.
You heard it on the Surface Noise live stream, right? Maybe I will put a fedora on, right? You see where this
is going? You have a fedora? Listen.
And then do the whole act. So it's basically Fremer playing Mazzy, and then I'm playing both of them, but then I just break that fourth wall, you know?
Bam.
Now, Jason, how do you respond to this? This feels like a weighted charge. First of all, shout out to Johnny L. What's up, Johnny? Good to see you, sir. The PB Thaw coming in. He says, Jason is getting Mazzy-like, showing that Fremer record like it was a replacement.
Am I not Patrick? Hey, Patrick, how's it going? You know, am I not getting enough cred here? I'm showing this damn record.
This is the one of one. I mean, Jason has sold at least three other copies on Discogs to impressionable young men and women who have stumbled across this program. So you're right. Welcome. You're welcome.
Wait for the color variants of this one, please.
Wyoming Dave is really controversial tonight. He says, Mikey Banana says, shit them pants. Dave. Potty mouth. Where have you been? Take off for a couple weeks and then come back with the potty mouth. Look at you. Unreal. Now, Cesar, this is a fair question. Cesar is asking the question on everyone's mind right now. Who's announcing what on May? Stay tuned. That's all I can say. That's what we call hashtag deep tease. Now, let's go on to this last topic. And this is actually a topic. I'm glad you brought this one up, Jason, because I'm kind of changing my tune and I'll get to it in a second. So the question is, how important our record shows today? So Jason, I'll kick it off with you because you threw this one into the ether of topics. How do you please to these charges?
So let me tell you a story, okay? Vinyl Piper was in town, you know, and he contacted me and I was like, of course, we can meet up, sure. Like, what do you want to do? And he's like, look at records. Gotcha, you know?
Done.
I'll see if I can leave work early on Friday. And I was like, what do you want? Do you want Rare records or do you want Dollar Jazz records or, you know, cheapo records? He's like, no, I want that Rare psych shit, that psychedelic music.
Right. Hang on. Shout out to Vinyl Piper. This is the official soundtrack of Vinyl Piper. There we go. All right. Go for it. Continue.
So I took him to Antone's. Like, that's the only place where I know that the wall is impressive, you know? And of course, it is expensive, but if, you know, one of the owners, co-owners is around, maybe we could work a deal, you know? And that's what happened, you know? We went in there and he was just like, this is the place, you know? And he was flipping, finding good stuff, you know? And it's my first time meeting him. So, like, you know, I only spoke with him maybe on the Rachel Ghost Show a little bit and then on Instagram and stuff. But we hung out, we had a great time. You know,
good.
And so this leads to the record show. He was like, what are you doing on Saturday? Like, just chilling. And he was like, how would you feel if you want to go to that Dallas record show? I was like, I don't know about this, you know, like I should save up my money for, you know, Austin and the record show then. Mm-hmm. And he's like, come on, I'll drive. And I was like, okay, sure, let's do this. And he had to go do a work thing up in Dallas, but that was later in the afternoon.
Right.
So we went to the show. We met up with David Bianco. I had a great time. I actually found some records.
Do tell.
I think some of them might be on the wall. Let's see here. Can I get the picture in time before the dead air? Yeah, I can. So let's see.
So some of these, I remember seeing this picture. So you got, here's Little Richard. Nice. You got Sam Cooke.
Chuck Berry. Two copies of Antonio Carlos Jobim. Jimmy Smith, Eddie Floyd, and that terrible, terrible Crosby, Stills, Nash record.
With the hot dogs?
I had to buy it. It was just so bad. I was like, how much is this? It's like $2. Yeah, it's mine. Give this. Give it up.
No. No
so,
mercy.
I mean, all these were like usually, I think I didn't pay. Yeah, these were all under $5. I had a good time digging through records. So he was right.
Hey,
so
shout out to
Vinyl Piper for dragging me out. You know?
Well done. Well then, I hope you still have money for Austin. That'd be sad if
right.
You come down this raises a side question before we get Arnaldo's take on this. Bartering with record stores. I forgot where I saw it, but I don't know if Alex Spear and Vinyl's still here, but he saw me do this recently when I was in Jason's old stomping grounds at Columbus, and I was at RPM, Record for Minute. They had a record on the wall. I knew what I wanted to pay, and so I went up there and I asked, can you do better? And then he knocked $5 off. It's $5. You know, it wasn't a big victory, but hey, help me on sales tax. Alex made the comment at the time, can't believe you're shaking down my local guy. It's like, hey, you know, I don't do this often. But then I heard somebody bring it up somewhere else, I think, on another program. And like, man, people who do that are assholes. And I was like, well, I can't disagree with it, but I don't do it often. So, Jason, where do you land on this? Because you kind of mentioned that Vinyl Piper was negotiating at Anton's.
That's how you keep the relationship going. Whatever people criticize, they criticize because they didn't make the deal. Sorry for you. You know, hate to be all cruel on that, but you're either going to make the deal or you're not. You know, come on. This is the rules of the engagement. You know,
all I can do is say no. That's right.
Yeah. I've done it all
the time. Or give you a snarky comment and say, so you basically want these records for free.
Oh my God! Now,
the $2 record. So you basically want this record for free.
But that's where you are. That was tough that day. Come on, that was tough.
Arnaldo, just a little background on that story, if you don't mind sharing. I know you've told me privately, and Jason was there. I think he was there.
It was the record that I gave to Jason. He picked it out from outside. I'm like, I'll get it for you. And then when I go, it's like I basically said the price of the record that I was just paying for, the one that was on the wall, right? Which was an achieved record. And the comeback was, which was $2 less than the total. And basically he's like, oh, you basically want me to give this to you for free. You could have easily said, no, I'm sorry, I can't. That's right. It. Right. But the snarky comment is what pissed me off and got me irate. Yeah. Exactly.
Stephanie Tanner is spot on. I mean, that's funny.
And all right. In context,
yes.
$2 was 2 point, what if my math is correct, 5%, right? Yes. Less than 4%. It was a 4% discount.
Carry the two. Yeah, I think I don't know. Funny. All right. So Arnaldo, before we get Arnaldo's take on the record show scene, KRWD says, Chance, the person that said that probably does not understand that the price on the record is what the seller hopes to get. And if it was not negotiable, he would have said no. That's fair. Now, it's not like I'm going to these shops and it's a brand new release and they've got it for $39.99. And I'm like, Chris Rock, how much for just one of them records?
I know, right?
I'll give you $7 if you let me look at it. You know what I mean?
You know, you went to RPM Records, which is like a good store in Ohio, Columbus, Ohio.
Yep.
If you had the original owner, Steve, he may have, like, you know, just jumped on the counter on you. You know?
Whoa, he would have attacked me? Oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, he would have been like, what do you think this is? You know, wild jumping midair, you know? And then you would have been like, I know Jason Rojas before
you. Jason Rojas!
And then he'd be like, oh, yeah, let's do that discount. I honor him.
I'm going to play the Rojas card one of these days. You watch. So Alex is also adding another piece of the story I failed to mention. Says Concert Buddy is failing to mention. He tried to do the same thing at the pizza place next door. Now look, we thought we were getting a lunch special. Okay, come on. It was a collective decision. The three of us were bamboozled because apparently the lunch special was off the table. Oh, and see, he backs up. Rojas was right. Steve would have kicked you out. So listen.
I have I was going to that guy's store when it was called Sour Records in Westerville, Ohio. Man, like that guy. The funniest story is I would go back in his $2 bin and dig through records all day long. And this one lady came I'm looking for this Billy Joel record. And he's it's not here, but it's probably in the back room. And then he looks at me, ask him. He probably knows where it is. And
struggle. So Flaming Groove Listen says at the KUSF record swap. Is that the one that was just in San Francisco? The Mazzy and all the Cocoon? Yeah, Patrick, you were there, right? It was a Cocoon reunion. I saw the picture. Was that the record show, the KUSF?
Did you say the Cocoon reunion?
Yeah, Cocoon 3. Wilford Brimley couldn't be there and Don Ameche couldn't be there. But Mazzy was there. Patrick was there. I like Jefferson. And George was really leaning into the Gilligan hat. I was like, God damn, George, you're the best. He says at the KUSF record swap, everybody I asked gave me a significant senior discount. Now, this is the move. This is the move. I'm not there yet, but you bet your bottom dollar I'll be playing that AARP card. I'll slap that on the table and say, look, fellas, can I get that Rodriguez Colfax for $4? that's funny. Oh, hey, Art is here, North Carolina vinyl picker. He said, I went to a record store in Johnson City, Tennessee last weekend and asked everyone for a discount. Did great and bought more. See, look at that. Exchanging goods and services. Johnny L. says, Chance, I went to our local record store today, saw a Velvet Underground record. The guy wanted $500 Canadian funds. Guy is nuts. This guy overcharged on his records. Johnny, you can drop names. We are all about making enemies on this program. So if we need to call out bad practices in the North, we'll do it.
Well, Johnny L is in New Jersey, right? So I'm curious.
No, Johnny, he's one of our finest Canadian vinyl community members.
No, he's not in New Jersey?
No, Johnny L? No.
Why did I think Johnny L's in New Jersey?
Johnny L used to sell cigarettes with Dino Bravo. He's Canadian mafia. He's a made guy.
Okay, I thought he was in New Jersey.
So Arnaldo, your take on the record show situation before I share my terrible story, or terrible take, because I mean, how many record shows? I mean, I know you know the WFMU record fair. We've talked about that. I'll probably be coming to that one this fall. But what's the record show scene today for you? And is it important to your collecting process?
To a certain extent. Now, I've been to the one that they have in Long Island, not far from here, a few times. So I kind of know the dealers. I know where to go when I'm looking for something. So I guess if you're a regular and you know the dealers, it gets better every time. The first time I went, I was so overwhelmed. I spent 4 hours there and I was stressed out. Here's my take. So a lot of these dealers don't have shops. They have no overhead.
Yep.
They're advertising or they price their records at a certain price. I always think, and I don't bargain with everybody. Only if I'm buying one record, I'm not going to bargain with anyone.
Yeah.
Anything two, maybe three and above, if I purchase something at your stall, I'll ask, what price can you do on this? Sometimes they offer themselves, you know?
True.
They look at the prices there. I don't even ask anything because they know me. They've seen me as a repeat customer.
They've seen you on YouTube and they know the sheer animal magnetism.
But they don't have, if they were to sell the same record on Discogs, right? They'd pay seller fees and taxes and all that other mumbo jumbo, right? Does it cost them to knock off $5 on a $50 record? Not a lot. You see this, I've seen the same records at different dealer tables at different prices, varying from, and all pretty much in the same condition. Actually, sometimes the worst condition was the one that that cost the most, ranging from $15 to $40. So, you know, you have a choice there at the, and they're not really sought after records or records that are pretty popular.
Sure.
So I think, I mean, there's this one guy, I don't even go to his stall anymore. I see what he has on the wall. He's the guy that I had, this is the best Yesterday and Today cover that I have, album that I have ever seen, the Butcher cover.
Mm-hmm.
The album was pristine.
Was it First State? Still had the original cover on it?
Yes. Yes. And, no, not First State. Second State.
The one with Second State, sorry. Yeah, where they covered it up. Yes.
The paste over. And he wanted I think you wanted $2,500. I'm like, it looks beautiful. I just wanted to see it and hold it in my hand. I know I can't afford this, but thank you for letting me look at it. But he's notorious for not taking off a dollar. And I think he just doesn't like me, I guess, because I overheard him as I was walking by his table. Some lady got him to do a discount. And I'm like, what the f-? You know, it's like he gives me the sorry story. Oh, man, this is all I do. And I totally respect that.
Sure.
Coming from Massachusetts or Connecticut, where he was coming from, this is all I do for a living. I'm like, okay, I got it. And I bought records for him without a discount. And then I grinned every time I was there flipping through and guys were trying to bargain. I was like, dude, you didn't even know what you're only one lady got a discount.
How do you feel about, like, if it's an expensive record, and everyone's expensive record varies, right? Do you just try to, you know, at a record show, let's say it's an expensive record, you'd be like, hey, can you do any better? Do you open that conversation up, or are you just like, okay, especially if it's fair market value, according to Discogs, wherever, or will you at least shoot your shot like that?
I will always, again, if it's a fair price compared to Discogs, or what I know and what I know it goes for, I will still ask, because I go off the, you know, you want to, if you have this listed on Discogs at the same price, you're not getting, say, $200.
Right.
You're getting less than that if you take home $170 after all the fees and taxes and all that other stuff. So if you knock off $10, I appreciate that, and you get a sale.
So Music in the House raises a very good comment. Sometimes they'll discount to get someone to come back.
Right.
Sometimes they'll discount for things they care less about. This is both true. Now, Art, no shame in your game. Every time I ask, I didn't used to. See, Art, that is you stepping into your fully formed self. Again, the worst I can do is tell you no. And
right?
I mean, seriously.
Or have a snarky remark.
Or go fuck yourself. Well, they can go fuck yourself.
Certain places.
Yeah, or they could say, do you really know how much is worth? I've had, no one's told me to go fuck myself, fortunately. But there was one guy who was very insulted that I even tried to, you know. I think that response was, do you know how much this is worth?
And well, the price is on it, right?
Right. I was like, well, I know how much you're trying to get for it.
Right, exactly.
But I'm trying to get something else for it. So clearly it doesn't sound like we're going to get there. So thank you for your time. We've gone down the road.
I'll tell you an interesting story. So at the same record fair, I was flipping through and the guy had an RL, a Zeppelin RL.
Sure.
And it was actually very well priced. It was in V. I mean, I took out the vinyl. I looked at it. It looked okay. It looked like it was VG, and the cover was VG. And he had it priced at $250, which is a bargain. In that condition, I think it was a bargain. And at the time, I didn't have it. I was like, I'm not even going to bother, because what is he going to do? I know that record's worth either $450, maybe, in that condition. He's never going to do. He already has it at a bargain price for $250. So I just, you know, admired it, and I wasn't ready to pay that, and I just walked away. I come back to his table, or I was at another table right next to it. Yeah, I was at another table right next to it. And I hear another guy interested in the Zeppelin RL, and he was bargaining. He knocked off $100. The guy walked away with a copy for $150. $150.
Actually, I have a comparable story. I have to get the name right. I'm going to pull it up real quick.
So it's always worth asking. You never know.
Always,
the worst
always
they can say is no. I was very intimidated because I know it's a great price. He's going to laugh at me and he's going to give me the same line. Do you know how much this is worth? This is already a steal.
Yeah, for sure. Jason knows this one. Arnold, I don't know if you know this one. So there's a record, the Counting, it's similar off that story. Counting Crows, a lot of their early stuff was on vinyl. Allegedly, a lot of the masters lost in the Universal Fire. I don't know if their first record was part of that, but I know, I think August and everything after was. And then the record, This Desert Life, 1999. So that's the one that has this Potter's Lullaby hanging around, etc. This record has been like an 800 steady Eddie record for a long time. Kind of slipped a little bit lately. So at one of my local shows, a guy kind of posted in there and he's like, hey, I got this record. It was before the show. He's posted like on the Facebook group. He's like, would there be any dealers or anybody interested in this record? It's like, shit.
He's a customer.
He was somebody who had the record.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, you know, if I bring this, do you think I can sell it or trade it? And I was like, you bring it, you know, and people are like, bring it. So I don't know if he came to that specific show, but then when the next one, same show, but different, you know, 3 months later, he brought it. Didn't know this. I was at my friend's stall. He's got a shop and we were just kind of bullshitting. And I was bullshitting with a friend of mine there. And I look over, and my friend who owns a shop in the stall was talking to this guy because I saw it, Hard Candy, or this Desert Life, sorry. And I was like, oh, that's the guy. So I just kind of listened to him talk. And so my buddy is like, well, the most I could do is like $375 because, you know, I've got to make money on it, you know, and it goes for this and blah, blah, blah. So the guy was like, you know, I could tell the guy wanted more, right? And so I kind of let it play out. And so he took the record back. He's like, okay, I may walk around, and I don't like admitting I spent this much on the record, but I did. So I said, look, I'll give you $50 more if I can have it right now. And the guy's like, sold. So, and that's a, let's see, the median value is $600. So again, $400 is still a lot. It was kind of a bust show for me anyway. So I was like, you know, this was the vinyl god saying it was meant to be. Sounds great. I got it home, cleaned it. You know, it was a great one. Oh, speaking of Big Game Hunter right here, Vinyl Piper. Hey, fellas, 30 minutes away from Coachella, hitting the record store first thing tomorrow. Lots of promos. So, Chris, is it true that you're just going to Coachella? You bought a Coachella pass. You're going to Alex's Coachella pop-up shop and then leaving. You're not even going to – you're just going to, like, throw the band up in the air for some, you know, child to find in the hot dog wrappers outside. Like, tell us in the comments below. Is that really the move? I've heard this. I'd be very curious. Well, to put a bow on this topic, and then we'll just do the freestyle. I think record shows are, and I've said this before, I think that's, for me, outside of the last one I was talked about, it wasn't that good, outside of buying that kind of gross record. I look forward to them because, especially out of town, like when I'm coming to Austin in a couple of weeks, I enjoy it because there's things, especially when you travel to them, that are not usually readily available in your usual, you know, rotation of locals and so forth. Case in point, when I go to Austin, there's a lot of country records, Tejano records, you know, things I just don't see. I mean, George Strait, like Water Tap. Yeah. Oh, look at you. Nice. Yeah.
So Willie. People are talking in the peanut gallery about early Willie Nelson. This is one of my favorite early Willie Nelson records, you know. Hello Walls, Mr. Record Man, One Day at a Time, and Hello Walls. This is an amazing record.
Like that early Willie. But no, record shows are fun, I think. I mean, just from a, it doesn't mean I'm buying them, but if I see some really rare records, it's really cool to see, and I'm sure you guys can empathize with this or relate to this. Like, it's cool seeing that still sealed, you know, Butch cover, you know, whatever. Like, seeing those pieces that I'm not going to pony up for, but still cool to see them. But what's that? There's that one, the guy in LA, or it's not the guy, he's at Austin, but he brings in, like, basically museum level pieces. You know what shop I'm talking about, Jason?
Record Safari?
No, not Alex. Alex. But you know, the name will come to me at like 3 a.m.
Are you talking about Permanent? Permanent Records?
No, not Lance. No, YouTube sensation Lance. He started a channel. Everyone started a channel. Oh yeah, he started the channel. Live streaming. He was live streaming with old Jonas Sublime Media. So It's a crowded battle way out there.
I mean,
so
I know Lance for a while. You know, he was going to record shows the same time I was like doing that. You know,
sure.
It's like funny to like see him. I think I saw him at Den Bosch or WFMU, and then some guys asking about records, and I like laughed. I'm like, don't ask me. Ask this punk over here. And I was like, you know, pointing to Lance. You know,
now was this bearded Lance or clean shaven Lance? Because there is
clean
a difference.
Shaven. You know,
all right, yeah, he's a lot more believable. When he's got the beard, he looks like Jeremiah Johnson. And so,
I mean, I get him and, you know, Alex Record Safari. Like, they're going around, they're going to buy for their store. You know,
sure.
There's, I mean, let's face it. Like, if you own a record store like in Los Angeles, you got competition. You know, you got to have that hot curated shit. You know?
Of course. Rockaway Records.
Oh,
Rockaway.
Man, that store yes. It's kind of nuts.
Yeah, I've never been in the actual brick and mortar when I've been out in LA, but I've seen their stuff online. I've seen them in Austin when they set up shop. It's museum level stuff. Well, let's wrap up this and we'll freestyle for a little bit and then maybe call it a day. But I want to thank my guests, as always, my steady Eddies, my ride or dies, Arnaldo. If you don't go to the channel Fidelius_Frequency, what are you doing with your life? Help this guy. He just had a video. The YouTube kamikazes, the Illuminati, have stunted his video at the 700 mark.
Yeah, 700 mark.
Figure it out. We've got to get the vinyl sleuth, vinyl detective, whoever's out there can help us. Arnaldo, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, concert buddy.
And then Jason Rojas, it's always a pleasure. It's the most controversial, the Geraldo Rivera of the vinyl community without the broken nose. Jason, thanks for joining us.
Concert Buddy, thanks for, you know, getting me back on here, you know.
Like, us Karens got to stick together. 5K right. Karens
for you know. Life.
And that was another trip around the turntable. Thanks for listening to Vinyl Community Podcasts.